courtesy of Mark Schessler, state senator from Eastern Washington. Ritzville is settled down or not. How are you, Senator Schessler? It's good to hear your voice on the John Carlson Show this morning.
Well, I'm doing well. It's nice to have a country music lead-in for me.
Just for you, of course. One of the few senators who wears cowboy boots on the floor of the Senate always has. By the way, it's not a costume when it comes to Mark Schessler. That's just what Mark's... I think Mark, instead of having booties when he was an infant, had boots back then. Anyway, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, John.
I want to ask you about something. We've had Todd Myers from the Washington Policy Center on the show. My goodness, I'm going to guess half a dozen times just to address one topic over the last year, and that is the legislature at Jay Inslee's behest trying to change the formula by which gas is refined to supposedly make it more climate friendly, which dramatically would raise the price. And of course, Jay Inslee said, oh, don't you believe people who say that? That's just nonsense. That's just swill when they say that this is going to lead to big prices in gasoline. Well, looks like you've been running the numbers there, and you've got an idea of just whether this is swill or whether it's Jay Inslee who's been serving the swill.
Well, he's got the willing at DOE that are willing to shell out false information, because earlier I saw the price spread between the same franchise in Post Falls, Idaho, and Washington dramatically different. I talked to a fuel distributor who said the refineries' pipelines are already building it into the process to price fuel. So the first week of the year, I checked with the distributors. They showed me the actual price list. And it's pretty, you know, you've got the refineries and pipelines, you've got each class of gas. Line item, publicly available, 33 cents a gallon for your gas. Go to diesel, it's about 42 cents, plus a surcharge for low carbon fuels, which we don't know will look like in the future. They know the auction is coming up for these credits under cap and tax. When that happens, they have to be immediately building it into their price. They started early. What a surprise.
So let me see if I get this right. Again, there's a double whammy. One is the cap and tax law. The other is the low carbon fuel standard. And the combined impact of the legislature passing this last year will be about a 35 cent increase in the price of gas coming around the corner?
Yes, and if you're absolutely, and if you're unfortunate enough to need diesel, add a dime.
45 cents a gallon. When is this going to hit, Senator Schessler?
Well, it's already in your price now. If you look at a state that doesn't do cap and tax, you'll see more than just a gas tax difference. The auctions are coming up in February, and it's widely believed by budget people that these will be significantly higher than estimated, which is going to bring a truckload of revenue in for things that Jay Inslee likes to grow government with.
35-cent increase in the price of gas. Now, what do we get for that? What do we get for that? Because if the governor had wanted to increase the gas tax 35 cents to use for more roads, that would have been a really controversial idea. Maybe the legislature would have bid on it. Maybe they would have insisted on a far lower tax. But at least we would have gotten something out of it. We would have gotten less congestion, more roads. What do we get from Jay Inslee's 35-cent increase in the price of gas, combining the cap and tax law and the impact of the low-carbon fuel standard?
Well, we will see an even more bloated transit system. We will see bike and pedestrian. What we won't see are lanes or safety improvement. In fact, the governor's transportation program is so bad, the north-south corridor in Spokane is proposed to be delayed by 6 years, even though it's fully funded. So bikes, pedestrians, electric ferries, but nothing that gets the average motorist, whether they drive an EV, a hybrid, or a traditional gas-powered vehicle, really gets nothing.
By the way,
let me 75% of cap and tax goes to allegedly transportation. 25% will be shared between operating and capital for climate-related projects.
All right, but the transportation is non-traditional transportation, meaning not driving transportation.
Absolutely. You can't even put... We need to replace a bridge, for example, at Hood River, Oregon. We can't use cap and tax money to replace a bridge across the Columbia River because it's about non-traditional.
By the way, I should point out, I just want to reaffirm how ridiculous this delay is. There are a series of transportation projects that were funded last year in the, quite frankly, pathetic transportation package that Senator Marco Elias shepherded through. This was a transportation bill that spent literally as much money on fish culverts as they did on new road construction. Okay, fish culverts got as much money as roads in the so-called transportation bill. And now this year, several of those projects, including 405 interchanges here and the north-south freeway that Senator Schessler's talking about in Spokane, they've yanked the money away from it less than a year after supplying it. And by the way, how badly needed is the north-south freeway? When I ran for governor in 2000, I campaigned to help build it, to help complete it. That was 22 years ago. And it's still unfunded. And finally, part of it gets funded last year, and they just yanked the funding away. That's really something, Senator Schessler. Wow.
Well, it is. And I'll talk about what I know best, the North-South Freeway. It was on time and on budget. This was not because of cost overruns. This was the governor's reappropriation to his world. I feel sorry for your listeners that are waiting for 405 improvements. I got up there regularly when I was the Republican leader, and I clearly came to understand the need for transportation, which led to the bipartisan Connecting Washington in 2015.
Okay, so one last question for you. We're going to be talking about this during the 8 o'clock hour. There is a bipartisan bill in Olympia with a lot of sponsors from the Democrats who are feeling the heat. They may not be seeing the light, but they're feeling the heat to change that anti-cop police pursuit law. There have been so many problems as a result of this legislation. There are plenty of co-sponsors, enough co-sponsors that a clear majority of both houses support it. But State Senator Manka Dhingra, the radical Democrat from Redmond, Washington, but every bit as radical as any Seattle legislator, has vowed to block it in her committee. So tell us about how Olympia works. What do you do when a clear majority of the legislature wants something and one chair of a vitally important committee says no?
Well, there's two paths that can go. One is a procedural vote to relieve the committee of the bill. That's a pretty gutsy move by members to go against one of their chairs. The other is intense public pressure from the listeners from Pullman to Pilot saying enough is enough. Our mayors, our police chief, our sheriff wants this. Do something. So those are the two routes that you can go to enact public policy that really is needed.
That's a very good diagram of how you can get around someone who's standing in the way of very eminently needed change, too. By the way, it was her bill that is causing all this damage, and she doesn't want it changed. So she's standing against clear majorities. Both parties want this bill, and she's trying to block it. Senator Schessler, it would be good to welcome you on the show more often here during this legislative session. Looking forward to more conversations.
Well, great to be back with my friends, the KVI listeners.
You got it. That's Senator Mark Schessler, Republican, former Senate Majority Leader from Ritzville, joining us here on the John Carlson Show.